PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week, for I think the third time this calendar year, which is crazy, Mr. Casey Schultz over at Cleveland Strixon. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's always a blast. And yeah, it has been a lot this year, for sure. Lots of exciting stuff to talk about, and enjoy it every time with you, Dan.
It's awesome. It means you guys are doing things, and the latest being wedges adding to the lineup, something that we'd love to talk about, a little bit more forgiveness in the space. So that's a big one. But before we get into that, I have to know what's going on over at the office. There is a lot of buzz going on, some tour hype. What's happening?
A lot of buzz. Yeah, we watched the Ryder Cup stuff this morning, saw Keegan making his picks. It's really a lot of overall positivity with how the year's been going on the wedge side, on the Strixon side. Obviously, we've been killing it on tour, and truly celebrating the rise of the team Strixon guys and all the successes we've had. And breaking records on, you know, wedge adoption and everything for the RTZ line with our tour staff, but also non-contracted players. So just the most momentum I've really felt with the company and the brand, especially from the tour side, since I've been here. So a lot of excitement and more to come. It's really a great time to be a member of this team.
I know this is going to be a weird request, but no spoilers. All right. My kid told me I wasn't allowed to know who he picked until he got home from school, which is in another couple hours. So no, I'm just joking. You say whatever you want, but big hype around the Ryder Cup. And I know a lot of people in golf get very excited for those moments. And obviously it gives you a chance for some of your product to shine as well on the biggest stage, or one of the biggest stages, depending on, you know, whether you watch it. I think most golfers tune in who genuinely enjoy competitive golf, because the juices are definitely flowing. There's some hype surrounding that one.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's the pinnacle. There's nothing more exciting than a good Ryder Cup, and the competition, especially at home, has always been, you know, next level. So really excited to see what goes down this year, and certainly rooting for our guys to bring it home. But we'll see. It's going to be a tough year. I think your squad looks pretty good as well. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll be fine. Don't worry about those guys. Hey, how long have you been with Cleveland Strixon now?
Oh man, 7.5 years, something along those lines. Yeah, okay. It's been a while. So been through a number of launches, and really, really excited to see the company growing over the years.
Yeah, I assume it's changed a lot. A couple of years were very strange, and then golf got very hot. And
yes,
you know, product being what it is, great product usually shines through. And it's nice to get to talk about wedges, because your wedge story over there is so tried and true. It's just a matter of refining it to make things better. So I'm really curious about something when it comes to the overall experience on the wedge side. You have these launches. I feel like a lot of people have high expectations of Cleveland wedges. So when it comes to, it feels like a little bit of a different thing. So let's say you release a brand new driver with a brand new name, you have to convince everyone it is what it is. When you release a Cleveland wedge, whether or not it has a changed name, people have expectations. They have preconceived assumptions that it's going to be excellent. So does it feel different when you drop a wedge like that and say, hey, we know you expect a lot, so here's what we're giving? Does it feel different than anywhere else in the bag?
I think so. I mean, I think there's a different philosophy on wedge design in general, where a decent amount of players may be coming from an older generation of that wedge, or already in the family, especially CBX line has been around for a while now, CBZ. And so like there's enough purchasers that we're looking at for this generation that may be coming from an old model. Same thing with our blade wedges. Obviously we've sold those all the way back to the 588 days, and you never know what people are going to be coming from. So ensuring that some of those tenets that you find in a Cleveland wedge, the shaping that you've come to expect, the performance, the spin, those things don't get changed too much, or come to, you know, expect something different out of a new wedge. We got to stay within those core design languages and performance characteristics that you've come to expect, while still pushing forward and making the next one even better than the one that you're going to be coming from, and experimenting with new feel and new technology and everything that we're moving forward with from a truly revolutionary standpoint. It's certainly a balance to ensure that it's got that true Cleveland wedge signature experience that you're looking for with the modern technology and things that are going to make it the best wedge we've ever made as well.
So I think that's sort of a precursor to the discussion we could easily have, which is that Z Alloy came out in such a hot and interesting way this year that, you know, it allowed people to say, hey, this is a Cleveland wedge, but man, is it different in such a good way.
Yes.
Of course you have the rust truthers out there who are probably still losing their mind over it, but you also have the people who, you know, genuinely appreciate the consistency that comes with that. So, you know, I wonder, when it comes to something like Z Alloy, it feels like a pretty impactful release. So
yes,
you know, as we're carrying it through, I feel like we're talking, you know, two lineups now rather than the one that we're just going to see here this week. But at the same time, like, you got to be coming like, hey, this is Cleveland wedges. We don't do these things the wrong way, but also, hey, check this out.
Yeah, I mean, Z Alloy has been truly a revolution in our wedge design, and it's shown on tour. It's shown in our, you know, success with sales. It's shown with all of the feedback on the feel and the performance people are getting in the RTZ wedges. And I couldn't be more excited for players to finally have a chance to experience it in our cavity back family with the CBZ wedges. It's truly been an inflection point when it comes to what we can do with wedge design, what we can achieve with feel. You know, the non-rusting has been a massive success. I think our forecasting team blew it a little bit on the tour racks. We forecasted a few too few of those and have been backordered for a long while. I think they're finally coming back very strongly into inventory here soon. So the reception has been extremely positive. The rust truthers we were worried about certainly haven't been speaking with their wallets, with those Torax sales being absolutely massive. So it's been really exciting to see the success and the adoption, and everybody seeing what we did in testing and in development of how amazing of a material this is, and something we're committed to in our wedges moving forward is this really game-changing technology.
So now we're talking about bringing Z Alloy into a more forgiving profile, which I think is really, really interesting. And listen, we can talk a long time, and in fact I will take a chunk out of this to talk about my experiences the last time I compared two Cleveland wedges together, got shocking results. But it had to be exciting for you to get this technology into the more forgiving product, and I guess the early question is, how much does that have an impact on design? What exactly can you accomplish in the new CBZ profile that might have been more challenging without some of these new technologies?
Sure. I mean, the biggest thing to start with on the CBZ or our CB wedge family in general, and I think this is a philosophy that isn't shared by most competitors, is that we want all of the same real deal technology in the cavity back wedge as we do in our tour wedge. So we don't water things down. So bringing Z Alloy in was a no-brainer. It's our best technology when it comes to material. You know, zip core, everything else that's on the blade wedge is going to be on a wedge that's just for a bit of a higher handicap player who needs more forgiveness, but all of those other benefits are still there. The feel and the forgiveness and everything that comes to the material was really exciting to finally be able to take advantage of it in a more freeing design, I would say, in the cavity back. So where you're really going to notice the material usage the most is the fact that we've been able to go so much bigger in our gelback TPU. So that plaque is going to be 94% larger than it was last generation, which has really allowed us to shift more of the metal to the perimeter and in other areas to be able to increase that forgiveness, the MOI you're going to be getting in that cavity back wedge, and overall have a more forgiving profile that actually hasn't grown physically or in shaping from where we've been in the past. So your off-center hits are going to be a little bit more forgiving, especially towards the toe, which are more common in your higher handicap play. And you're going to be getting all of those feel benefits and the other things that come with Z Alloy as well. So it really unlocked a lot of capabilities and allowed our design team to get creative on creating a larger plaque and moving that weight in ways we otherwise couldn't have.
Yeah. for the record, I'm looking left a lot because I'm looking at all the spec stuff right now. I don't have it all just hammered out the way you do. So gelback was one of the things that I was absolutely ready to talk about. And I think when you look at it from 1,000 feet, you don't recognize that it actually slides up and underneath and into it. There is a lot going on back there, and it's shocking in a good way because it's like, all right, it's not just a CB wedge. Like, there is a fair bit going on. So dial it back a little bit for us and explain why the gelback matters and how much of an impact that can really have on something like a precision wedge.
Sure. I mean, with a CB wedge or anything that's got sort of a cavity like that, having something that's there to reduce those vibrations and improve the feel along with the material is really, you know, a truly exciting opportunity. So being able to have that squishier material, if you actually put your finger on the Cleveland, I like to say you can feel that squish and that that gel really coming into effect when it helps you with the feel all around the greens. But then also having that ability to replace what would have been metal with a much lighter weight material and move that metal to the perimeter has allowed us to increase forgiveness, but still in what we think is the best looking CB wedge profile we've made. All of that technology is very well hidden in what looks like, you know, under the constraints of a CB wedge, a very traditional looking, clean, modern design.
So I really want to get into something that I think matters a lot, and that is that people shy away from forgiveness in a wedge, but desperately encourage it in irons. And yes, there's this like hilarious moment in our bag where suddenly we go from everyday average golfers to the best of the best. And now we have this bladed wedge in our hands, and the expectation is, well, it's a wedge, it's not that hard to hit. Then they go and hit it. Okay, so maybe it's a little bit harder than we're presenting here. So this is where I've been wrestling with this since I started reviewing the product. There's a lot of discussion about shifting the center of gravity more into the middle of the head, whereas I think in the RTZ, it's more toward the heel.
Is that accurate? Yeah, it's more heel ways. We always try to shift it in the RTZ as well, to an extent, but obviously the blade constraints are a lot higher than they are on the CB wedge. So we've got the ability to shift it a lot further, and we really do target the striking locations of the player types each wedge is targeted for.
So let's go even further back to that and say, I have a pitching wedge in my hand and I'm going to miss on the toe side. Obviously I want an iron that will support that kind of hit. And listen, whoever's following along with this discussion, try and tell me you don't hit a toe ball every once in a while. I do it every weekend and I'm okay at golf. So, you know, the idea that you have support there and irons that really help it out. I mean, my ZXI7s are doing a great job of that this year.
There you go.
I want to take that back from your perspective, a manufacturer's perspective, is where is that threshold? You know, we talked about a more forgiving wedge, but I mean, there's a lot of products that meet that threshold without really requiring the thought of forgiveness in total, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really a focus on what's right for the player in each part of the bag. So as somebody who struggles a little bit on distance control in your wedge game, you really should be considering a cavity back wedge. I mean, there's no club that's more important with distance control than a wedge. Your debates between, you know, a 10-foot putt for birdie, or you might be off the green or in a bunker or something along those lines based on where you're striking the ball. So I think that forgiveness matters a lot more than people are realizing. And that dichotomy of going from an extremely forgiving cavity back iron or hollow iron in the modern market to a bladed wedge that has virtually no forgiveness. We do what we can on the RTZ side, certainly, and we believe we make one of the more forgiving blades in the market. But the amount of performance you're going to be getting from going to a cavity back design from a blade in that part of the bag is really game changing. And a philosophy that doesn't need to just shift instantly from your pitching wedge to your gap wedge or wherever you're making that transition. I think it certainly makes a lot more sense for your higher handicap players to be strongly considering a cavity back, and you'll see the difference instantaneously on that performance on off-center strikes.
So when it comes to the design team, and I assume they're looking at all the entire lineup and considering, well, where do we shift this center of gravity to best support players who use the rest of our lineup as well? How does that apply there? And how do you encourage golfers to not have such a massive variance between, let's say, pitching wedge and gap wedge, or if they're using a set gap wedge, maybe gap wedge and sand wedge.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it, especially in the CBZ line, is the shifting of the center of gravity, but another part's the shaping. We really take into account what iron shapes are looking like, and all the way down from our 44, which we do offer a 44 in the CBZ, through around the 48, those are going to be very iron-shaped wedges that are going to combo extremely well with what you're expecting to find in your iron set. So for a player who's looking to put a gap wedge in, or you know, one of those sort of pitching wedge type of lofts, they're going to really work well as a club that you're going to be hitting for more full shots and is going to look like what you would expect with an iron to an extent. There's some wedge-like features in there. And then as you get into the 52s and above, those are going to be looking a little bit more like a traditional wedge and what you're going to be coming to expect from, you know, obviously a sand wedge and a lob wedge once you're in the 56s and 60s. So that center of gravity is shifting a little bit more, I believe, in the lower lofts with the way we're targeting those for the full swings, and then slightly different philosophies and different movements when the shaping changes for the 56 and the 60s to just make sure you're getting the proper performance out of each loft that you really need for your game at that skill level.
Well, I want to call back to a video that I'm sure will end up in the discussion we have on THP over this. Back in the day, I tested two Cleveland wedges against each other at the time, the blade version, and at the time, the more forgiving CB version, as you can probably imagine the couple I'm talking about. But my expectations going in, it would be that I would lose a little bit of my precision and I would gain a bit more distance control. And after, I think halfway through the video, I was ready to start over because it didn't look good. And what I mean by that is the cavity back wedge was in so much control that I really didn't lose out anything on precision. And I think that's one of those silly misnomers that exist in this space, is that, look, just because you have a little bit of help there doesn't mean you can't hit to your target point. And especially when we're talking about sort of finite changes as opposed to this big hunk of metal, now you have these like perimeter components that will really support your swing. So unfortunately, it ruined my perspective and didn't allow me to be much of an internet golfer after that, because, you know, I got called on it and put the information on YouTube, so I can't really hide from it at this point. But, you know, I think that's an interesting component to the discussion. We talk a lot about irons to wedges. Why are we not talking about irons to wedges to wedges? You know, there are different types of wedges. And just the same as someone goes and combos a set of your irons, why would they not combo wedges? And I'd love to know from your perspective, what is that like to talk to people? What are you doing differently? Why are you playing the same iron? Why are you playing the same wedge all the way through your set?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really focused on the philosophy of each club in your bag should be thought of for whatever you're trying to use that for, instead of just set matching your irons to a whole, to a point. Where do you want to make that transition from your pitching wedge to, you know, a set matching, not set matching, to a specifically designed wedge? Or do you want to do it even earlier and, you know, make your first wedge a 46 degree, you know, cavity back wedge, and then maybe even go into a blade? I think that's really something that we focus on with our fitting and with everything we try to really establish with the consumer, is what goal do you have in a gap wedge? What are you trying to accomplish with a sand wedge? What shot types are you trying to hit with your lob wedge? And then from there, finding the right wedge within our matrix to fit those shot types. For my game personally, I have a lot of issues hitting it off the toe, specifically on my gap wedge. So for me, I actually go from a CBZ to an RTZ in my wedges, which is a little funky and not something many players do. But with that gap wedge, I need that little bit of extra forgiveness when it gets into the sand wedge and the lob wedge. That extra versatility and slightly more control around the greens has been really helpful for my short game. So we really are trying to give players the option with that. With the CBZ lineup, we also offer the full face. So those have a little bit more versatility and the ability to open the face for those full face grooves in certain lofts. So you've kind of got the freedom to mix and match the set however fits your game and the shot types you're trying to play with each club.
So you're a really good case study on this, not to pun intend the name there, but the concept of going to a CB wedge versus going to a set gap wedge, which, you know, I think we have a lot of discussion on THP. Like, I love how much control I have over my irons, and I feel like I lose some of that when I go to my longest wedge. I know there's people who think the other way and they add a wedge instead of their pitching wedge, but you know, it seems like you've made the decision to effectively switch or consider a set gap versus a forgiving wedge or more forgiving wedge. Is that do you ever mess with the actual set gap, or is that not really a thing you would do?
I personally like the forgiveness, but also just the short game versatility that comes with having a 50 degree is what I play, and the ability to hit chip shots and everything around the greens with that gap wedge. I think getting a wedge specific model that in our CBZ line specifically, we designed the grind to really work well around the greens with a little bit of a leading edge bounce chamfer that reduces the digging with all of the spin technologies and the Z alloy and everything that's designed for your short game in a wedge. You're getting more versatility and more options out of having a 50 degree that's more designed to be a specific wedge than sort of a set matching one that is more designed to be with your irons. And if you're going to be only using full shots with that and you feel like you can get the same amount of control with the rest of your irons, I say absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But if you're looking to get a little bit more control, and to an extent, there's a psychological part of it too, to me, of having a specific wedge that you're attacking a pin with versus, you know, an iron that you're trying to, you know, maybe hit a green or try to go closer. But there's a bit of a, like, I'm in scoring range as well when you have a specifically designed wedge in your hands. To me, it helps out. And I do think there's a bit of a debate, especially in the gap wedge loft, about weight as well. That's one that can go either way. Generally, we recommend for anything you're going to be mainly hitting for partial shots to go 10 to 15 grams heavier than your irons, get a little bit more control in a sand wedge or a lob wedge. Gap wedge can kind of go either way. If you're going to be using that mainly for full swings, we'd recommend using probably the same shafts you're using in your irons. But if you're going to be doing a lot of partial swings or three quarters or what have you with that product, then it might be worth going a little heavier and feeling a little bit more control. So a little bit down to personal preference there. Personally, I try to match it.
Yeah, you just said that golf is psychological. I can't imagine where you've come up with that idea. Yeah. Back to the CBX. There's so much going on. CBZ. HydroZip's back, AltiZip's back. We see ZipCore in there. Why is it important to maintain these technologies that have existed and continue them?
Yeah, I think it really goes back to our philosophy that just because you're a higher handicapper doesn't mean that these tour technologies shouldn't be made for your game as well. Really continuing everything into the new finish isn't easy. Like, we've had to redo the way we work with you know, all of these groove technologies and face blasts and everything with Z alloy. It's easier doing it in CBZ after we'd already kind of cracked the code on how to apply them in RTZ. So that was a development ease. But we really want to make sure that players have the most spin performance and multi-condition performance with things like the HydroZip, when you won't have to worry as much about moisture and other things affecting your game. And just because you're a higher handicap player who's looking for a little bit more forgiveness around the greens doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to benefit from that spin and that consistency. That's going to help you as much or more as it will the best players in the world.
So I've had a fair bit of experience this year with RTZ. I'm blown away at how much greenside action I can generate with it. Every once in a while, it's a little bit to my own fault where I think I can't stop it, and boy does it ever stop. So, you know, having that freedom there, you get to experience some of those technologies that exist in the wedge, and that includes when it's wet too. It definitely showcases a lot of potential there. One of my favorite things about it is all the scoring marks on the toe side of the wedge. I'm what we'll call a traditionalist in the iron and wedge profile. Listen, I know you guys have a full face coming out. I'm really happy for anyone who wants to use it. It's not my world. But I've always appreciated there is not just the toe side. There's more to it than that, right? So carrying that over and then bringing in full face, I assume there's a bit of a challenge there. But there's also a bit of understanding that people do miss on the toe side or try and engage with the toe side enough to where it does matter.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's really exciting for the first time to have the CBZ dropping with the full face variant at the same time, with the same components, at the same price point. In the past, we've done a bit of a year difference, and it's been kind of confusing if you wanted to build a set with a full face and you had to find it at a different price. And it wasn't exactly a slick, player experience if you wanted to build a full face into your set. So here, we're really giving you the opportunity to add that wherever you need it, wherever fits well with your game. So even all the way down through the 50 degree, for players who are striking it more often on the toe, on purpose or by accident, that's going to give you a little bit more consistency with any of those strikes. The biggest thing about the full face is there's really no downside other than being a traditionalist and not liking the look, right? I think that's the only negative you're going to see in the design of a
I
full
feel so
face wet.
targeted. Settle down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm to an extent in that same bucket. I definitely it takes a little bit of getting used to, but at the same time, from a purely engineering performance perspective, there's really no downside to having more grooves on the club. But it also, especially in the higher lofts this time around, we've really gone with a little bit of a lower bounce and a little more versatility in your sand wedge and lob wedge. So for a player who's looking to open up the club a little bit, I mean, just because this is a really forgiving design doesn't mean we don't want players to be able to get versatile and creative short-sided around the green. So having the ability to strike it off of the toe, and we see more and more of players, especially in the higher handicaps, playing those flop shots that strike really does move out of that high toe where the grooves aren't traditionally existing on a wedge. You're going to be getting more spin. You're also going to have a little bit more mass in that area to give you more consistency and overall better performance out of a full face design when it comes to the sandwich and lob wedge, and anybody who's looking to get a little bit more creative around the greens.
Yeah, I've been taking a little bit of a look here at the different grind options that are available from each of the lofts that exist, and I think I can definitely see the logic that's built around it, where there's going to be a lot of sole support, but also not a ton of engagement early with the turf. So it'll help people, I assume, not get too heavy into it, but it also has that freedom to get through it from the trailing edge relief. What goes into making these decisions? You got VS and C, and I assume as you get into that 58 and the 60, that's where you really want to create the support from a workability, flexibility standpoint around the green, yeah?
Definitely. I mean, I think with the CBZ lineup in general, we make soles that are very forgiving first and foremost. So we want to make sure that around the greens for these players who are looking for that support, these are a little bit wider soled than, RTZ family. And most importantly, I think this started with CBX4. The leading edge bounce chamfer is featured on each of those leading edges. So that's a little bit of a pre-worn sort of section on that. On that area, that's really going to help reduce digging and overall create a lot more consistency around the greens for any player who struggles laying the sod every once in a while. I think most of us do. So that's really
Very
a little
targeted
feature.
today, Casey. That's crazy.
I know I certainly do. I grew up in Washington, so a lot of wet conditions and a lot of digging back in my
Sure.
day. So having those features on all of the grinds really helps. But then, yes, absolutely, throughout the set, it gets more and more versatile with, your S shapes and your C shapes being featured on certain lofts. We really do want to make the decision a lot simpler for players than ever before. So this time around, it's really just going to be the full face or the non-full face of our sort of dynamic sole grinds that will select the best grind for, each of those wedges at those categories. And you simply need to select, whether you want the full face variant or the traditional variant for the shot types you're going to be playing in a sand wedge or lob wedge. So a little bit of grinds made easy, but each of these grinds is certainly developed in a way that has the right amount of versatility and forgiveness for what the target player is really going to be looking for to make your short game a little bit more easy and more forgiving, but still give you the creativity to hit flop shots and do other fun things around the greens that'll allow you to get closer and make more pars and birdies.
So I assume that's very targeted to the kind of audience you're looking to support. And I think when I look at the 44 to 52 being that V grind, it makes an awful lot of sense the way it's structured. And
Yes.
that would definitely be what I'd be looking for were I to game them, that sort of controlled line across. I definitely don't want a C grind in my cap wedge. That's crazy talk.
Yep.
But is it designed purely for simplicity in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the gap wedges through the pitching wedge lofts are designed to combo extremely well with things like our Strixon irons. You have the Tour VT sole, and we see a lot of performance benefits of having that V-shaped sole and anything you're going to be using for full shots primarily. So through a 52, we're expecting the majority of the play to be with full shots. Sure, the 50 and 52s have that leading edge bounce chamfer and work extremely well for square face chips around the green, but wouldn't really recommend opening those up and trying to play a flop shot with a 50 degree. I don't think many of us are doing that. Maybe a few out there. But then as soon as you get into the 54s and 56 and then up through the lob wedge lofts, we want to make sure that we build in parts of the grind that allow for, that open face creativity and a lot more shot shaping options and slightly less of a focus on just the full swing shots.
Okay. It's a great looking wedge. I'm impressed with how connected it adds with the softer TPU inside it. It just looks really comfortable in there, and I don't think it's like a significant variant. Is there anything else that you want to focus on and make sure people know about these new wedges that are coming out?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is just to rethink the way you go about your wedge game. I mean, our RQZs are still a phenomenal family, and for better players, it's a really good opportunity to find the right amount of forgiveness within the constraints of a blade wedge. But if you're really struggling for consistency, or you want a wedge that can help you out a little bit in the way your irons are or your driver. I mean, all the drivers have gotten massive today, obviously, with 460 cc designs. For some reason, people still think about wedges in a bit of a different way. So that's what I would challenge is to, if you're looking for all of the best technology Cleveland has to offer and you want a wedge that'll help you a little bit more forgiveness and a little bit more consistency, then CBZ is certainly the wedge for you. And I would go hit it. I think is the biggest thing I can say. Experience the alley for yourself. It's truly a game changer. But me talking about it can only do so much.
Yeah, for sure. Or go laugh at me on YouTube looking absolutely stumped with the last release. And I assume much will be the same. I can't wait to hit it for myself and be irritated by it. I know I've got a great regular playing partner friend who has had CBX in the bag and has been patiently awaiting an update. So he's most definitely going to be chatting my ear off this weekend about these wedges. Is there a lot of engagement you get on tour, or who do you lean on to help line this type of product up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do a lot when it comes to the CB type of wedges, with consumer testing and it surveying and everything with our players. And we've got a few different groups. We've got a group of physical testers, but we've also got a mailing list of 4 or 5,000 of our most loyal fans that we'll send out and get feedback on anybody who's purchased the last generation or what they'd be interested in the future generations, and just ensuring that we're creating products with really the target market in mind, and ensuring that it helps their games as much as possible. So I definitely think with the CB wedge, it's less tour focused. That part is definitely more taken into account on the RTZ line, which is heavily tour driven, and feedback and development and grinds and everything that we make on the tour side really drives what comes to retail there. The CB is a lot less constrained by what the best players in the world need because it's not designed for them. It's designed for your everyday weekend warriors and dedicated golfers who can use a little bit more help in the short game and can actually put their ego aside like some of us. I would argue that CB wedges could help some tour players in certain parts of the bag. We've had a few mess around with. I know there's a couple people on foreign tours that play them here or there, but the ego thing I do think is a bit of an issue on the tour side of things, as it is with many golfers. So I would say if you can put that aside and give CB wedges a real shot, you've got a chance to lower your handicap and have more fun with the game.
I really respect that approach, and I'm sure any opportunity you can get the feedback from tour, you will certainly take it. But I've always laughed in the past when there's been this hyper focus on, oh, how far did that tour pro hit this ultra forgiving, game improving, players distance iron? It's like,
Yes.
because they're never going to use one, but man, do they ever hit it far. The idea that you focus more on the masses who will actually appreciate and benefit from it is, I think, a great perspective to have. And I'd love to see more of that occur.
I mean, I think connecting the same technologies we have on tour and have established there into a design that is more for the masses is really a strategy that has worked extremely well for us, and we're certainly going to continue moving forward. And it's the right balance of being able to be unconstrained in a product like this, outside of, you know, some traditional wedge features, and not being completely off-putting, to create something that, I mean, is a bit of a piece of art, but is also as forgiving as possible for the player we're looking for, and has everything that they need, as far as versatility as well.
You mentioned it's a bit of a piece of art, and as much as we're focused on CBZ today, there's some stuff coming from RTZ that people haven't seen yet, but they will have seen just prior to this release, and it's a collaboration you guys have done with Swag to bring some of their sunglass wearing presidents into the wedge game, and I think it's great because Cleveland is not a stranger to creating unique wedges with different types of finishes, or I guess would this be like lasering that have gone on the side? I remember almost 10 years ago when the stuff came out for the first time with all the different money and different patterns that came off on a wedge, and I thought like how cool, what a great way to do it, but it's funny how this almost feels like a tie-in to go to a company who's really leaned hard on the sunglass wearing presidents for quite a few years, and you get that recognition. So, can you share with me how that came about and what people can look forward to?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we had a connect with some people at Swag, and we really thought it was a really exciting opportunity for our brand and their brand to work together on something unique and exciting. And that brought a little bit of attention to the market and was also just something kind of fun and out there a little bit. We're really leaning into the personalized side of things and making your wedge your own, right? You're paying all of this money for something that you're going to be using for so many years. It should reflect your personality and things that you like or you enjoy, or brands that you're connected to. So we really want to use our wedges as a platform for people to express themselves and have these cool, unique items that stand out from, you know, what your buddies might be playing or what's typically out there in the market. So this was a really good opportunity and foray into this kind of limited edition realm. We're not making a ton of these. When they're out, they're out. So if you guys are excited by the drop, I would recommend getting on buying them very quickly, because we're expecting them to disappear quite fast. But this sort of thing, we're really excited to do more of going forward. This being a really exciting foray with a great partner in Swag to bring a you know, really, really cool offering to the market.
Yeah, I can see all the little subtle touches that have gone on to make it work. Like almost little Easter eggs, like, oh, it's not just a face finish. There's a lot going on with it. It seems to me that it's being done the right way, which I think is great. It does add to the additional question I have, which is how much are you experimenting with things like different finishes or other alternatives to really make these things stand out?
We're definitely getting creative moving forward. I think this sort of limited edition realm, or the area of making your wedges more personal and connected with, you know, your own sensibilities, but also things that you think are cool, are certainly opportunities that we're looking forward to exploring moving forward. Can't leak too much. There's definitely some things in development over the next couple of years. So if you don't like this limited edition drop, or don't purchase as soon as you hear this podcast and they're already sold out, there may be more things coming in the future, but can't speak too directly. But exciting times for sure when it comes to items like this. And we've done the US one, the All-American one a few months ago that was in some stores, and I believe maybe hanging around a little bit here or there. So these more limited drops to go along with the exciting personalization offerings that are on RTZ and then also on CBZ, I think is worth mentioning. We're doing skins for the first time on the CBZ wedge, along with custom ferrules and custom paint fills and custom alignment line colors, which can be useful for players who actually functionally like an alignment line on their irons or wedges. Is really an exciting addition to what we're sort of seeing as one of the pillars of our brand, to really elevate the personalized side of making the products you purchase your own.
Yeah, I love the collaborative effect. Srixon has pretty typically been one of the best major bags that come out. I love seeing what comes of that. I know there's been a connection with Dormy, the head cover company this year, which I've really loved. They're one of my favorites. Just seeing all those additional tie-ins just adds such a cool component to it. And listen, Casey, it's just us, man. You can tell us whatever you want in the next couple of years. Like, no one else is in the room here. It's fine.
I wish I could. I wish I could. Definitely have to stay silent on a few things. But yeah, do know that our brand is committed to doing more of these sort of limited edition items. And especially as our following grows and we have more Team Strix on fans in general and people who are loving the Cleveland brand and everything we're doing on the Wedge side, there's going to be more and more of these limited edition opportunities. As long as people keep being excited and, you know, telling us they want them and they sell well, we're going to keep doing it. So the best way to see more of these in the future is to buy the ones we're making now.
That's such a great line. How's your golf game? I know you've got some wedge challenges going on right now, but how's the rest of it?
Yeah. Wedge challenges have been iffy. The driver's been a little iffy. The irons have been better for sure. I played a bunch a few weeks ago and I was back in Washington, which is a bit of a golf paradise, I think, compared to California where you can hardly get out for less than a 6-hour round. But yeah, the golf game's coming around, I think. The new product is helping a bit, for sure. I've definitely been playing the ZXi stuff on the Strixon side, which has been definitely a level up from where I was before. Finally got some blades out of the bag in the shorter irons, put my ego aside and put some 7 Series at least as part of my combo set there instead of blades, which it was high time to do. It was too many of those pitching wedge shots that I think that would have been a little closer if I had just a little bit of a cavity back there. So, man, yeah, game's coming around.
I'll tell you what, though, with the 7 Series, I am blown away at how crisp they are, at how rewarding they feel. There's like a little element of like distance performance kind of baked hidden in there, which I don't fully understand, but I'm like just completely enjoying. And
yeah,
it's an iron that, you know, I feel like that series has been quietly popular for a long time, for quite a few release cycles, and this has to be one of the loudest that I've ever seen. Anyone who hits it is blown away by them, and the sound, man, the sound that comes out of those things is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the ZXi7s are absolutely buttery. I mean, the softer material and the feel and the sound and the control and the forgiveness and the distance that is somewhat there for sure is really a special iron. And we've had amazing success with it this year at retail, but also on tour. The whole staff just moving to the new irons in waves that they haven't in the past. And that consistent expected performance that has become basically a staple of and a hallmark of Strixon over the last few generations of an expectation that we have to, you know, kind of continue with each generation. I think we've really done it well with the 7 Series and the 5 Series and everything with the ZXi family has really been a massive step in the right direction. And it's interesting seeing so many tour players gravitate towards the same combo sets too. I've been doing about the same thing with the 5 and the 4 and the 5 Series. And there really is something to the way the 5s and the 7s blend so well. It is something we do better than just about anyone else, and kind of to what we spoke about on wedges earlier, where you should really be taking each wedge in your bag as its own product and what you're trying to use it for performance wise. Same goes with the irons. I think we really allow players to make that transition wherever they need more forgiveness. We sell 7 Series and 3 iron. I wouldn't recommend very many people purchase that. It's not being played on tour. Go to something more effective for your game in that, you know, window of the bag.
Sure. It's always fun to have you on, my friend. It sounds a little chaotic in the bag of Casey right now, but I think that's a good thing. You try things, blame someone else, and eventually something's going to stick, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you get new product all the time to test and to have fun with. I'm always trying to figure out what's going to make me a little bit better at golf and lower the handicap a tiny bit and maybe reduce the yips a little bit here or there in the short game, no. which is the biggest concern at the moment. But yeah, I've been putting things together in a fashion that's it's been working a little better than before. So when I do get out to the course, having fun with the new product is definitely a good time. And trying to shoot some lower scores is definitely the goal.
Nice. Hey, if you guys are out there listening and you haven't even seen CBZ now, go check it out. It looks awesome. That they have some great design elements into it. It's all packed really well with that. I'm still can't get over how that gel back TPU just slides right in there. So I can't wait to hit it myself. RTZ are absolutely nuts. And I assume this will be a nice bridge to that iron gap that you might possibly need. So Casey, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Excellent. Thanks for having me again, Dan.
Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. And we're running out of time here in the on the east side. It's almost winter. I hate to even say it, but it feels like October right now. So enjoy the moments you have and play some good golf. You may as well. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
What's going on, everybody? Jackson Bragg here, product marketing coordinator at True Temper Sports, coming at you today with another episode of Shaft and Grip University. We've heard your questions about more sizes coming out for the Icon. They are currently in production. Be on the lookout with news coming soon.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.